Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Moyet. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Life is just a game. Win or lose.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show, where we define the elite athlete by bringing education, athleticism, and community service together. We try to bring back fun into sports. We try to make it a family entertainment. We believe that if you lay the foundation for excellence and you help parents to navigate the challenges of playing sports from high school to the pros, that you ultimately would get a role model in sports. I'm Ida Moyet, your host, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show. Now, this month, we've seen a lot of things in the news in terms of sports. I want to start off by basically giving a wonderful warm of applause to the career of Eddie Robinson, of course, who passed on April the 3rd. He is noted for not only his championship in historical black colleges, he had over 17 championships in his conference, as well as 27 consecutive winning seasons from 1960 to 1986. But he's most noted for two things. Number one, over 400 people that he actually coached reached the NFL roster, and over six of them became Hall of Famers. But he would like to be remembered as a coach as well as a man who had the same wife for over 40 years. That's coach for you. We also saw that today a major decision was put down by the NFL team. In other words, Goodall, the new commissioner, decided to hold teams responsible for their athletes' conduct. And what he really said essentially, it's important that the NFL be represented consistently by outstanding people as well as football players, coaches, and staff. And he's holding everybody accountable. And what he did do is that he actually held two players considerably to higher standards. Pac-Man Jones will be suspended for 1 year. And, of course, the gentleman Chris Henry will be suspended for 8 games with the Cincinnati Bengals. And both the coach of the Cincinnati Bengals and also the Tennessee Titans agree with that particular punishment. Hopefully this is a new day for the NFL. The other thing is we saw the death of an expatriate, Daryl Stingley, who, of course, had that huge hit in 1978 by Jack Tatum, which paralyzed him for his life. But even though he never really succumbed to that, he really actually believed that his life had other meaning, and he went on to be quite a philanthropist and serving kids and setting up all types of foundations, and he leaves a wide, beautiful legacy. In addition to that, we have the news about Tiger Woods losing his Masters. And one of the interesting things is that on his actual last hole, which is the second shot on par 5, his 13th hole, he looked back and he called on Jesus. And so as a result of it, the gentleman who won, Zach Johnson, he said he had Jesus falling behind him. And he felt that he really had to step his game up. And, of course, Zach won his second championship for the first time in the PGA. And a sad note is that the Rutgers team, of course, was lambasted by Don Imus, one of the talk show hosts, and his stinging remarks, calling them out of their names. I won't repeat the actual names, but apparently people still feel that his suspension for several weeks is not good enough, that he should be ousted from radio and set a higher standard. Now, those are some things in the news, but today our show is about the heart and soul of sports. We're going to talk about service. We're going to talk about the community. We're going to talk about the kids and the good tomorrows here. The title of our show is Sports Legends, Helping Kids Reach for the Stars. Now, athletic philanthropy and volunteerism is on the rise in this country and abroad, but rarely do we see this in the news. Billions of dollars are contributed to various different programs, particularly by athletes, but we still don't see that news. So what we're trying to do at Sports Maverick is bring that news to you. And tonight we celebrate three major legends: Henry Lawrence, 2005-2006 Football Hall of Fame nominee; Leland Melvin, NASA astronaut, crew member, the STS-122 Columbus shuttle mission, and former Detroit Lion as well as Dallas Cowboys, and Sister Andrea Yeager, tennis great, recently ordained a Dominican nun. These champions stepped out of the annals of sports pages and into a lifetime of service. At this time, I'd like to take this time to introduce you to our guests. Good evening, Leland.
Good evening.
Good evening, sister.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on.
And I think Henry Lawrence will be joining us later. A little bit about Leland. Leland, of course, comes from a family of educators, Dean and Grace Melvin. Now, Leland's mother, I'm assuming, taught him these three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, and his father inspired him in playing sports. I think, Leland, you combined that love for math and sports, I guess, to become a team player for University of Richmond. And, of course, the rest is history. Tell us, Leland, right now, today, where do you think you would be if you didn't play sports?
Well, if I hadn't played sports, I mean, sports has given me a lot of confidence, a lot of positivity, and working as a team. You know, my parents are both educators, as you mentioned, and my mom would read to me every night the little engine that could, I think I can, I think I can. That gave me the confidence that no matter how big I was or no matter how small I was, I could do anything I put my mind to. And sports was something that is now helping me with training to be a crew member on the International Space Station, working on the space shuttle. We work as a team. You know, we have a commander, we have a pilot, we have the two of us on the flight deck as mission specialists one and two, working in concert just like a quarterback and a receiver. I was a wide receiver. But working together, sometimes unspoken communication is done to, you know, solve some of the problems that we have in trying to go to space. So I think teamwork is so important in anything we do, but especially in flying to space.
Excellent. Now, sister, you play tennis, which is I consider that a single person's competition sports, because the biggest competition you have is against yourself and another opponent versus being in a team sport. How has sports helped you in terms of looking at the world differently than, say, an individual who's never played sports before?
Well, I grew up actually playing boys soccer. I was a girl on a boys soccer team, so I had the wonderful benefits of being part of a team, which I absolutely loved. At that time, it just wasn't the era of the women's soccer team where you could go professional. That came a little bit later, and so I ended up going into tennis. And the aspects of how I grew up playing sports was my dad and my mom. They were so excited to get the family out, my sister and myself, because they wanted us to have a choice. Instead of maybe getting in trouble at school or getting in trouble after school or getting involved in things that might have not been good for our health or our well-being, they wanted us to be actively involved in something that was good for so many things, motor skill development, coordination, self-esteem, and sports has that. The team concept part I just absolutely loved. I think that was the one thing when I was injured on the tennis circuit and ended up eventually starting the Children's Cancer Foundation, that, you know, if I could have had one thing different, it would have been just having a little bit more of that team atmosphere in tennis, because I just so love that growing up on the soccer team.
Now, you know, we look back, and I've actually worked with some tennis players and actually had the privilege of meeting Martina because she lives in Florida, and she had been actually training with a young lady, Jennifer Magley, who finished University of Florida and one time was number one in the country in tennis sports. And one of the things I noticed is that she cross-trains a lot, and she cross-trains with basketball. So when you were training in sports, did you do any kind of cross-training, either one of you?
Martina was, she was one of the pioneers in women's sports. Billie Jean and Chris and Martina were on the circuit when I was there, and that was just starting to happen. And I think Martina was one of the few athletes that actually got in the gym and did other sports. I had the ability to go out and get the ball kids to play soccer with me or Nerf football, so that was basically my cross-training. But the other thing was I was a professional athlete at the age of 14, so my parents didn't want to get me in the gym. They didn't want to force, you know, being too strict with, you know, physical upbringing other than fun sports, because I was still growing and they wanted me to have fun along the way.
And I think that's very essential. And we talked about that at the beginning of the hour, that it's important to put fun in sports. I mean, a lot of kids are very competitive today, and a lot of it is in terms of the dollars that are involved. But I think one thing that is essential, that parents should bring fun back to sports and let kids do this for the fun of it. Obviously, the other things will follow. Now, Leland, of course, with your situation, you had a father that was very, very interested in sports and probably was hands-on with you in sports. Did you do any type of cross-training as well? I know you mentioned that you liked tennis as well.
I did. I played football, basketball, and tennis. I rode bicycles. I did lots of, you know, outdoors things. And, you know, both of my parents were school teachers, so we had the summers off to go camping and hiking. And, you know, every summer we'd go on a different camping trip. And I think that, you know, my dad, during these trips, would either throw a baseball to me or throw a football or show me how to shoot a basketball. And this just gave me that confidence to know that I could do anything I put my mind to. So it's very important that I think athletes today do cross-train and actually their parents get involved. Like with Sister Yeager, you know, her parents gave her an outlet to do something positive and fun and keeping it fun and light, because so many kids now feel so much pressure from just the educational side, and sometimes they even feel pressure to perform from their parents. So it's important that they keep this light and fun, and the kids will excel.
Exactly. Now, you both experienced the prestige of playing sports, obviously at the college level as well as professional level. Now, how does it make you feel when you meet kids and they say to you that you've made a difference in their lives just by the things that you've done, the things you've done obviously on the court and off the field, as well as things you've done on the field? How does it make you feel when you get that, Sister, when you hear that from kids? Because I'm sure you've been a great inspiration, as well as you, Leland.
Well, it is important to have an impact on children. I mean, certainly when I was growing up, I, you know, watched sports shows and was aware of, you know, what athletes were doing on and off their field of expertise. And I think what's really important is how do the athletes deal with when maybe they can't perform as well? You know, how do they behave when they're not, you know, doing great in their, you know, in their expertise, whether they get injured or get a bad line call? I tended to learn along the way and needed a lot of experience of having people, you know, show me things. And I think that's the best teacher for children is watching people who can handle those situations well. Do athletes do it, you know, the greatest every single time? Absolutely not. I mean, we're all learning together in a sense. But I think that's what's so fun about a team sport. They, you know, they help each other and inspire each other to do well together.
Now, we have been particularly talking to two of our sports legends, and that is Leland Melvin as well as Sister Andrea Yeager. We're going to take a short break here, and we're going to come back and talk about the epiphany that they received when they both experienced an injury and both of them decided to take a different course from sports. This is Ida Moya, your host, and this is the Sports Maverick Show. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to Voice America Sports on the Voice America Radio Network.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of Sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Can't get enough of college basketball? We can't either. Tune into the College Basketball Experience with host Jim Haney for the ultimate interactive basketball talk radio show. Don't just watch college basketball. Hear about it and talk about it with those who know college basketball best, the coaches. The College Basketball Experience airs live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 o'clock Eastern, with Jim Haney, the Executive Director of the National Association of Basketball Coaches. Participate in active open discussions on current topics in college basketball, and as Jim brings listeners insight from today's top college basketball coaches, as well as stories and opinions from the legends of college basketball. That's the College Basketball Experience, airing live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Voice America Sports Network. Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host, former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on the Voice America Sports Channel every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Ray believes it is the fans that support America's favorite sport, and they should be able to express their opinion about the game with passion. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time to Ray Ellis Sports right here on the Voice America Sports Channel. And let's talk football. You're tuned into Voice America Sports on the Voice America Radio Network.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the second segment of our show entitled Sports Legends Helping Kids Reach for the Stars. We are joined by our special guest, Leland Melvin, NASA astronaut and former Division I academic all-star from University of Richmond, drafted by the Detroit Lions in 1986, and sister Andrea Yeager, tennis phenomena, teen phenomena, started at age 14 and, of course, played with some of the greats in tennis. But like any game, there can be injuries. And we want to talk a little bit about the epiphany that both Sister Yeager as well as Leland Melvin had when they experienced the injury. I'm going to start first and bring Leland Melvin in to tell us a little bit about his experience that he had when he played for the NFL and then found that he had an injury and had to look for a new direction in his life. Leland, why don't you join us here?
Okay, Ida, I was drafted in 1986 to the Detroit Lions, and my second week in training camp, I was running a long route and ended up pulling a hamstring pretty badly. And you all know how bad a wide receiver needs a good hamstring. And after that, I stayed around on the team for a little while and then was released from that team and bounced around with the Dallas Cowboys and then the Toronto Argonauts. But before I went to Dallas to training camp, I started graduate school at the University of Virginia. So I had a fallback plan just in case that the NFL didn't work out. And as soon as I was released from the Cowboys training camp, I went back to graduate school full-time and then started working for NASA when I got my degree. So I think it's very important to look down the road to see if football or athletics or whatever will pan out, how it's going to pan out, and if it doesn't, have a plan for the next plan, the B plan.
Well, I think that whole logic of thinking must have meant that while you were in school, being an All-American, academic All-American, All-Star, you must have been thinking, what will I do if I don't play sports? Was there a mentor who put that idea in your mind? Because you are an outstanding student as well as an outstanding athlete.
Well, I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would be playing college football. I played on a team in high school that was, I was a wide receiver on a running team. So I didn't catch the football too much. And my senior year, we had a homecoming game where I dropped a touchdown pass in the end zone. And there happened to be a college recruiter there who looked at me, was walking out of the stadium. My coach believed in me, put me back in, and ran the same exact play. This time I'm in the end zone doing a little dance, and the college scout is now looking at me saying, well, maybe he can play for us. So I think it's all about how you recover from horrific instances like dropping a pass at your homecoming game and what you do with it from there and looking to know that there is something else out there that I can do.
Now, you're being very modest because you did have an outstanding career at Richmond, 198 receptions, 2,669 yards. I don't call that lightly. I think you did a pretty outstanding job at Richmond. So when you got to University of Richmond, who was your inspiration there?
I had a number of inspirations. One of them was just my coach in general who, again, believed in me. He took a chance on me from dropping a pass in high school to you know, being a starter in my sophomore year and playing, you know, all 4 years at the University of Richmond. So it was like a combination of my coach and my other players, and, you know, Sister Yeager and I were talking earlier about just being a team member and everyone coming together and bonding together to you know, do positive work. And so I think it was a number of people at the university, but especially my position coach.
Oh, I see. So, again, it's a whole idea, I think, of what you bring to the game. And I talk about a lot of students, and I talk about being a student of the game. And evidently, when people are looking at athletes, they're not just looking at an athlete for his athletic prowess. They're also looking for his integrity and probably about his effort as well. So I'm assuming that someone saw in you a good work ethic, that you would be willing to be a team player but also to have a good work ethic because the fact that they believed in you and took a chance with you. Now, of course, you talked about when you pulled your hamstring and could not play the NFL anymore. How did you feel that day when you walked off that field and walked into, I would say, your civilian life, more or less, into the life? How did you feel? I'm curious to know your feeling about how you felt when you walked off that field.
Well,
this is it.
When I left the Cowboys training camp, you know, I knew that that was my last opportunity to try to play football in the NFL. But at the same time, it was something that, you know, I knew that I could do, that I was there, I was practicing, I was playing with the gentleman there. But it was time to move on. I knew that was the next step, was there was something else for me to do. And, you know, finishing my graduate degree and then working for NASA allowed me to give back in a different way, you know, with children and with kids in education. So I think things happen for a reason, and I was able to then move on from that point and not be too disappointed, but, you know, kept my head up and kept moving.
Now, I understand from the material that I've read about you is that it took a little coaching to get you to NASA. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I have been working in Hampton, Virginia at NASA Langley Research Center for about 7 years, and a friend of mine who really wanted to be an astronaut badly told me that I should apply. And the first time he told me that, he handed me an application to fill out, and I never filled it out, and obviously that year I didn't get in. And so the next selection time, he handed me another application and sat down with me and said, you're going to fill this out. I filled it in, FedExed the application in, got a phone call to come go through the interview process, which is about a week long of physical testing and psychological testing and all kinds of different testing. And I came here and ended up getting another phone call saying, we want you to come to the Astronaut Corps in 1998. So that was one of my friends who saw something that I did not see. And that's one of the things we have to do as mentors, as role models, as just students, is to look, take the blinders off and not just look at one track, but look, you know, to each side and see what other opportunities are there. And I think that's very important so that we don't get focused on just one thing.
Well, I think that's a very important point because sports does not just mean athletes. There's a lot of professional positions. There's coach positions. There's training positions. There's different academic positions, in other words, in compliance, as well as athletic directors. And these are things that are usually held to even a higher standard sometimes because they don't usually change every season. They tend to be long-term positions and well-paid positions. So it's good that you did have the opportunity to look beyond sports and to find your niche. Now, Sister Yeager, I'm going to bring you in here a little bit.
Okay.
And, of course, you yourself experienced an injury as well. Now, at the age of 14, being a tennis phenomenon, and then receiving an injury, I think, around 18 or 19 years of age, obviously you played some of the greats in tennis. How did you feel? Because your life was tennis.
It was. But I also had this perspective of that God gave me the gift of being a professional tennis player. I reached two in the world. I beat Billie Jean King on center court at Wimbledon. I beat Chris Everett at the French Open. So I had these, what I thought were great accomplishments already, and I felt grateful for the career that I did have. So when I was injured, I had a perspective of, okay, well, I was blessed with this professional tennis career. Now I'm injured, and now, you know, I believe that God wants me to go on and help children with cancer full time. So I really had that benefit, and, you know, as we just heard this phenomenal story, I feel like I was listening, just, you know, glued to the line, listening to the story of hearing about, you know, your guests talk about his journey, and the but there's an incredible amount of wisdom that he shared in being able to understand having that backup plan, or just realizing, wow, what I have potentials, I have gifts. It might go beyond the sporting environment, and that is just such a crucial lesson we just heard about. That, you know, even if someone's great at a sport, God might have some even bigger plans for them beyond the sports arena. That might be a stepping stone.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think you both bring some very important points here. Number one is that you got to have a game plan, and you got to have a plan B. So you got the A plan and you got the B plan.
And
I think that's important, because a lot of kids only have the A plan, and a lot of it has to do more with sometimes what their families want and not all the time what that athlete wants. And I always tell athletes when I speak to them that they need to look at what it is that makes them happy and do those things and make sure it's fun versus doing things that other people want them to do. Because in the final analysis, if you become injured or you're kicked off the team or you're traded or you're no longer on a team, you got to have a plan B. And so that's why education, I put that first. So we encourage kids out there and parents out there that you should put education first. Get that degree, because sometimes without that degree, you don't have any choices. Now, Sister Yeager, I saw that you, in fact, went back to school after you finished your career. Now, I have followed the tennis world quite closely, and I know that most of it's about 1% of the tennis players actually have college degrees, because they play at such a young age, and I think the junior champions usually are like senior champions by the time they're 18 or 19 years old. Do you think that we should put more emphasis on education in tennis now? I know we're seeing a lot of that in college now, and we're starting to see some of the players come out of college with the college degrees and now, you know, getting on the circuit and trying to come back. But some people think they're over the hill by the time they come out of college. But do you think that should be changed for tennis players?
Well, it's an interesting question and topic of discussion, because in Europe, a lot of the players, they skip school, not just college, but high school. And so they go straight into the sport. So I think what has happened here in the U.S. is, in order to stay competitive with the other athletes coming from other parts of the world, they, you know, a lot of times they feel like in order to nurture a career, you have to skip education. And I absolutely believe that education is something that needs to be taken very seriously. I finished high school. I went on and got a degree later on. But education is something that should be paramount. And fortunately, the boy athletes tend to progress later physically, so they seem to get longer education if it's in those sport environments.
As you can see, mothers and fathers and athletes out there, we're really talking the talk tonight. We're talking about putting education first. You got that A plan and you got that B plan. The most important thing is to know what you're going to do when the sports is no longer there. And I think that's what's key tonight, to know that there is life after sports. You know, we call the NFL not for long. That means is that the average career is about 5 years. And likewise, when you're playing tennis, tennis can be somewhere between maybe 5 to 10 years. So it's very key and important for you to have that B plan. We're going to go into another break here, and we're just delighted to have two very, very, very wonderful sports legends here. Leland Melvin, of course, from NASA, astronaut, played with the NFL, Detroit Lions, and also on the Dallas Cowboys, and also Sister Andrea Yeager, tennis phenomena, is with us. We'll be back in about 3 minutes, and we'll continue to discuss how these wonderful sports legends are helping kids to reach for the stars. This is Ida Moye, your host, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
You're tuned into Voice America Sports on the Voice America Radio Network.
This fall, college basketball will have a permanent home to perpetuate and celebrate our great game as the National Association of Basketball Coaches Foundation will open the College Basketball Experience alongside the new Sprint Center in Kansas City, Missouri. The CBE will cover some 40,000 square feet on two floors and will provide a fun, memorable, and multifaceted interactive experience for fans. Visitors will have a unique opportunity to learn about every aspect of college basketball at every level, from the junior colleges to NCAA Division I. Activities for hands-on drills and rebounding, passing, dribbling, dunking, and defense are spaced throughout the CBE, allowing everyone to test a variety of skills. The lifeblood of the facility will be the presence of college basketball coaches in sounds and images. Fans will be able to listen as the nation's outstanding coaches prepare their teams for games, discuss halftime strategies, or huddle on the sideline during a timeout. From the smallest to the tallest fan, everyone gets involved in the game at the College Basketball Experience. Being a winner takes a little more than just skill and a whole lot more than luck. It takes preparation and having a winning attitude. Indy 500 race car driver and motivational speaker Lynn St. James brings to the Voice America Network that winning attitude. And the Winner's Circle with Lynn St. James airs live every Tuesday afternoon at 12 Pacific Time, 3 Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. Lynn will share her views on motorsports and women in sports. Lynn's 30-plus year career as a race car driver has taken her around the world and enabled her to meet winners from all walks of life. Join Lynn and her guest as they offer their insight on what it takes to get into the winner's circle, whatever the challenge may be. If you have a desire to learn what it takes to be a winner from winners, or if you want to share your formula for success, tune into In the Winner's Circle with Lynn St. James every Tuesday afternoon at 12 Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Here it is, sports fans, the Arthur Agee Sports Radio Show, where we talk about sports and everything in between, from high school to college sports, right up to the pros. Join host Arthur Agee, co-star of the 1994 sports documentary, Hoop Dreams, for the Arthur Agee Sports Radio Show every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 Eastern, premiering on the Voice America Sports Channel. Arthur will host a variety of guests and will give the average fan a platform to voice his or her opinion about how sports play a significant role in our society. Get set for hard-hitting topics that cut to the soul of sports. See the sports industry through the eyes of the kid in the city and the kid in the suburbs. Hear from the businessmen and, yes, women from around the world. Whatever your passion is, football, basketball, baseball, golf, soccer, NASCAR, or hockey, the Arthur Agee Sports Radio Show is for you. That's every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
You're listening to Voice America Sports on the Voice America Radio Network.
The College Basketball Experience welcomes you to join our open discussion with questions, comments, or stories of your own. Call now to talk to Jim and his guest at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Now back to Jim Haney.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. This is Ida Moyer, your host. And again, I want to welcome back my guests. My guests are Leland Melvin, NASA astronaut and former Division I academic all-star from the University of Richmond, drafted by the Detroit Lions in 1986. We also have Sister Andrea Yeager, tennis phenomena, also joining us. Welcome back, our guests.
Hello.
Okay, guys, welcome back. Listen, we've got a question. We just got an email, and the email, we have two here. One's for Leland. Leland, the question is, we hear a lot about American kids being behind in technology, math and science, than our European counterparts. Is this true, and why?
Well, I've seen some of the numbers, and, you know, U.S. engineering degrees numbered around 70,000, India was about 350,000, and China was 600,000. I did a little research and found that those numbers for the India and China are a little bit inflated, but, you know, our society right now is sometimes so focused on what's on television and what's, you know, not doing the work required to get the grades. I mean, we'll go out and play ball all day long and play sports, but when it comes time to study, we'll get C's to stay on the team, but we won't go for the A. So I'm hoping that our society will recognize that our students are just as smart as you know, our European counterparts, and that we'll go ahead and start focusing on, you know, the three R's, as you said earlier, because that's very important for ensuring that, from a technological standpoint, our society, you know, stays advanced and we can thwart, you know, evil things that are coming at us. And that's one of the things with NASA and the space program. We're always featuring people for education and for science and technology to ensure that the next generation of explorers will be out there for us, you know, looking for the moon and the Mars. So that's very important in what we do at NASA.
Well, I can see that, and looking at your bio here, that you spend a lot of time in the NASA Education Space Program trying to improve these perceptions. Where can people get information on that?
If you go to www.nasa.gov, you'll find a whole myriad of information, not only just for general information, but they have sections for students, for educators, and they even have the student sections broken down with the different age groups. So if you go to the education section at the NASA portal, www.nasa.gov, there's a lot of information there. And there's even information about working for NASA and getting funding as a high school student to even work for NASA. So check out the website because there's a lot of information there.
Excellent. Okay, Sister Yeager, we have a question for you. Apparently, people are familiar with your Little Star Foundation and the Silver Lining Foundation. People want to know exactly what are their foundations and how can they get involved in that?
Well, Little Star Foundation is actually the title of the foundation. We used to be called Silver Lining, and after working with thousands of families and children, we decided that we were going to go with the Little Star Foundation name because it was more significant to have kids look up in the sky and go, well, wait a minute, you know, no matter what I'm going through, whether it's an obstacle, it's a disease, it's abuse, whether, you know, there's difficulties of environmental situations, then there's still hope out there for me. There's still something I can look out, and there's something shining on me and make a difference. So the Little Star Foundation is what we are now called, and we have a website as well. It's littlestar.org, and we've certainly got a lot of programs that run worldwide. We've been going strong for 16 years now, and so we have different programs available for children with cancer and children in need, and we certainly welcome anybody's questions or interests, or if they want to contribute or just share a story or share a prayer for us, because we go to a lot of places and these kids need support. I mean, prayer is really a powerful tool to make a difference, and financial contributions, obviously, you know, we need, but there's something to be said about prayer being out there, and that connects all of us together, and, you know, just making a difference daily.
Okay, another question for you, Sister. You used your tennis earnings to set up your first Children's Foundation. What was your inspiration, and do you believe that world leaders are doing enough to protect children?
Wow, great questions. The first one, I was a professional tennis player making millions of dollars on the circuit, and I happened to go to a children's hospital at the age of 15 and saw the kids, met with a group of kids with cancer, and at that moment I knew that when I grew up I wanted to help children that were sick. And I, you know, started the foundation once I, you know, had these seven shoulder surgeries and had to leave the tennis circuit and had a great group of people. Heidi Buchout came in as a vice president, but we couldn't get donations. We were just so struggling, and I thought, well, God gave me this money for a reason. Let's use it. So we used it all. So now we struggle for donations, but we had that ability to get going and get started from that. And in terms of what world leaders are doing, I think, how I look at it is it's so easy to look at someone else and say, what are they doing? How can they make a difference? But where we start is with ourselves. We start with ourselves and, you know, even having a conversation with God saying, how do you want me to make a difference?
Amen on that, Sister.
And so if that's where a person starts, and that's how I felt, it's like, you know, God, I'm just, you know, one person. Can I really make a difference in the world? And it's true. World leaders were people just like us, where they started as one person. They believed in something. They had faith. They had passion. And, you know, we all have a calling. It doesn't matter if you have a title as a world leader. We all have a calling to make a difference. And I think that's where it starts. There's, when you start coming together and sharing and believing and, you know, putting that powerful prayer together, the world is a better place for kids when people make a stance individually and say, hey, as an individual, I can join with you and we can make a difference. And I think that's the influence that, you know, reaches across any international border, any religion, any situation.
I think that's excellent. Now, Sister, you have several books that you've written. How do you share that with our audience and at the same time tell them how they can receive that? Perhaps we'll have some of those features on our website, but www.sportsmaverick.com. But you've done a pretty good job in being an author as well, so I want you to toot your horn on that a little bit.
Well, 3 years ago, I really just felt like I wanted to share the stories about what the kids were doing in my spiritual journey. I think it was a little different than, you know, Leland, when he has free time, he's going in space and changing the world. So therefore, he's a little busy.
And it's free time. Leland, you will email us some food, won't you?
I will have to do that.
You've got to, you know, do some greater things in the universe at that moment. And so I just sat in my little bed at home and thought, well, I'm going to share a few stories.
You're going to touch the face of God, right?
There we go.
You're going to get there.
So I wrote a book called First Service, Following God's Calling and Finding Life's Purpose. And, you know, it's so apparent. It's like when you want to reach for the stars to make a difference, you can. And I do it on the ground. Leland, it's just there's very few people in the world that can take what they have in their goals and dreams and put it to action. And then you get to hear about it and be embraced by it. You know, so often you hear about the people who don't make it or don't get there. And, you know, the next generations of people that get to go up in space and change the world, you know, it's for people like Leland that we have to say thank you, because He's reaching young hearts and spirits and lives and saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, I've done this and I've been part of something. But more so than that, I really see the potential of change in the generations to come of youth. The youth of the world right now has tremendous capability of even correcting wrongs that have gone on in the world, but beyond that, making the world a brighter place for all for, you know, years to come and decades to come.
Well, I can see definitely that we are talking to some of the really outstanding individuals in our communities here. Again, it's just been a delightful time speaking with Sister Andrea Yeager, Tennis Phenomena, who is now, of course, being ordained a Dominican nun. We're going to come back in a few minutes and talk a little bit about her thoughts about that, and that understanding it was a process and a journey. And I think she'll share that with us and let us know a little bit about that. We'll also come back with Leland Nelson, and we want him to tell us a little bit about what he felt like when he got that call that he would be joining the new crew members going into space and hopefully in December. You are listening to Ida Moye, your host at the Sports Maverick Show. We're going to take a break and be back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to Voice America Sports on the Voice America Radio Network.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of Sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host, former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on the Voice America Sports Channel every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Ray believes it is the fans that support America's favorite sport, and they should be able to express their opinion about the game with passion. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time to Ray Ellis Sports right here on the Voice America Sports Channel. And let's talk football. You're tuned into Voice America Sports on the Voice America Radio Network.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Well, welcome back to Sports Maverick. Of course, we're into our last segment of our program. We have just had a phenomenal evening here talking with Leland Melvin from NASA, formerly of the NFL, and also Sister Andrea Yeager, Tennis Phenomena. I understand that we have got a caller on the phone. Peggy, go ahead.
Hi there. I'm a big fan of both of you. God bless both of you. And I wanted to ask a question. What advice would you have for parents to motivate their kids to do well in school or even to get interested in sports? And my 12-year-old daughter also has a question.
Is that Dr. Peggy Norwood?
Hi, mission specialist.
That's too funny. That's a friend of mine who was on the phone.
Well, right here, why don't you start off first, and then we'll give Sister Yeager an opportunity, and then I'll give a little bit of information.
Okay. Motivating your kids, I think, is very important with giving them sports, but also giving them motivation in the academics. And I think, like my parents did, you know, my mother was constantly reading to me, and my father was, you know, doing the mechanical, physical things, but my mother was out there, too, with the physical side. So I think it's so important that you let your daughter, as well as your son, see that you're doing these things also, and you do it as a family and as a team.
Great. That's great advice. And 12-year-old has a question. Is that okay?
Would you like Sister Yeager to answer that question as well?
Oh, yeah, please.
Go ahead, Sister Yeager.
Well, I think how parents conduct themselves is something that kids learn from automatically. I mean, you see right now, I mean, Leland knows Peggy. They've supported each other throughout. You know, it seems like they have a very special knowledge of the work he's done. And that's showing right now to kids, you know what, this is who I believe in. This is what I want to watch and see how this person performs. And look at this. So it's sharing of examples. It's the guiding force of participating in a child's development, not just saying, go do this or we want you to be this. It's, well, what do you think and how do you care? And let's look at this aspect. I mean, how many kids would have thought that, you know, going into space or being an NFL athlete is a possibility or even getting college education? And in one guest on the show, you have all three of those in one component. So I think that's the thing, what parents are interested in and the values and the morals and the principles that they share and what subjects they share, that's a big place of where kids will get their educational process in sports, in school, out of school, and their whole walk of life.
That's excellent advice. Thank you.
And then your 12-year-old has a question?
Yeah.
Hi. I was wondering what Mr. Leland was most excited about going into space.
I think I'm most excited about when I get to space and can look down at the beautiful Earth, the blues and the browns and the greens, and not see any borders there. And it's just one planet, and we're all on this planet, and we have to work together to make this planet survive. So I think it's going to be the borderless view from space and then working together as a team and, you know, performing the mission successfully.
Thank you.
Good, great question.
Excellent. And I'd just like to add, as far as parents encouraging their children to get involved in sports, they should look at athletics and academics as a single goal. And what I mean by that is that put as much emphasis on both of them, but also realize that, in fact, that you can actually use both of them to become a role model. Seek to be a role model. I think that is something that is very important today because, number one, is there's a lot of opportunities that one can get from being an athlete. You need to maximize those opportunities, but at the same time be willing to give back to the community, as we've seen that has emanated from our wonderful guests tonight, that they have actually looked at this as using their education as well as their sports, you know, achievements to be able to catapult themselves as service for others. I think that's important. I don't think there's enough talk about how important sports is in relationship to other things other than the actual entertainment aspect of it.
So we here at the Sports Maverick Show, we actually put out what we call the Pro Ready Impact Principles. And we think that if parents follow those principles, they have a 50% chance of, number one, of achieving excellence in sports, as well as being able to achieve excellence in academics. We believe that you need to be pro-ready, and that doesn't mean pro-ready to play professional sports. That means pro-ready for a job, pro-ready for society, pro-ready for your community. It means being ready, because your opportunity and preparation, that's when they both come together to really make the difference in that respect. And that, again, is the hallmark of what this show was created for, because we don't believe that you should just look at sports as one entity. We think that you should look at it as a single goal, academics and sports. And if you keep that in mind, I think it's just as nice to hear that a kid has made the honor roll and also made the All-American as well. I think those things go really nice together. And that's why I put my hat off to people like a Chris Link at University of Florida, who achieved academic excellence and also is a national championship quarterback. These are the things I think that are very, very important, and I believe that parents should look at that and as they begin to look at sports and also see it as the opportunities that are involved and maximize those opportunities to do better for others. I think that's the way I look at sports, and I think that's the way that if you do that, then you will always have a singleness of purpose, and that is to be the best that you can become. And that's how the best really gets better in that respect.
If I could just add one real quick thing, also the emphasis on the bigger picture, because a lot of times we don't know why something happens that may, you know, stop plans that we had dreamed about or worked towards, but it might actually be a bigger picture scenario where God is saying, I need you over here, and so let's do something over here. So even if you're waiting for that breakthrough and it hasn't come, it could be around the corner. So keep holding on to dreams, because they could actually be bigger than what you actually initially thought.
Absolutely. And just to sort of tie into what Sister said here is, I guess that means vision, doesn't it, Sister?
Well, it's having not necessarily vision. It's having the ability to know that God's in control of the bigger picture. And so if something doesn't happen exactly as you planned, that He is in control. And there may be a reason. You may not understand what has absolutely happened at that moment. You know, we're both in that situation. Leland and I both had, great professional athletic careers, and then we went on to do other things. And, you know, our dream might have just been, hey, let's do great in sports, but God had a bigger plan for us. And instead of saying, no, I just want to stay in that sport, we looked at that and said, okay, He's in control. I have faith. I'm going to go on this bigger picture journey, and look what's happened.
Exactly, because when I was playing, I saw a lot of guys that would keep playing. They were injured. They were hurting themselves even more. But they had that solitary tunnel vision to just play football when they could have been really led to do something else. And I think it's important to listen to yourself and not just do something because of the dollars or because of the fame, the fortune, and all that, but do it because this is what you are supposed to be doing with your life, like Sister Yeager, who had a calling, and now she's a sister and a nun. So that's a wonderful way to look at it.
Absolutely. Now, you're hearing some wisdom here, folks out there. You're hearing some real wisdom from people who have actually experienced all of it, from the sports world all the way, of course, to the service world. And I know really great things are to come for these two individuals. At this time, I'd like to recognize the Little Star Foundation as our Charity Organization of the Month of April. We encourage you to donate to this worthwhile charity by contacting them by calling 1-800-543-6565 or emailing info@littlestar.org to get involved. You can go to our website, www.sportsmaverick.com, and see more information. I also like to recognize that Leland Melvin has been named by our board as the Sports Legend of 2007. And what that means is that we will, throughout the year, maintain on our website the history of what Leland has done to this point and also follow him all the way to sports and be able to report back to you. We'll have different links to the NASA education program and hopefully those schools that are out there and teachers that are out there, that you'll go to our website and link in to some of this information and find out how you can encourage kids to get involved with the NASA education program in that regard. So we are just so delighted here to be able to have these two wonderful individuals as part of our team this year and welcoming Sports Maverick back to the air. And we have a lot of great things in store this year. And we think tonight has just been a catapult of one of our wonderful shows. Again, join us next week. The show is entitled To Finding the Sportswoman in You. We will be visited with the infamous Beth Pry, the top hypnotist to the athletes. Beth's company, MindLink Golf, is helping countless people improve their game and their approach to life. And she'll tell us what's going on with Tiger Woods and what he might need to do to improve his game. Again, this is Ida Moye, your host. This is the Sports Maverick Show, and we'll see you next week. Remember, winning isn't everything. It is the beginning of something bigger, serving others. Have a good night. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining Ida Moye and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.